Miss Jennifer Ringer began her dance training at the age of 10 in Somerville, South Carolina, enrolled in the Washington School of Ballet 2 years later. After attending two summer sessions at the School of American Ballet, she enrolled in the school on a full scholarship, became an apprentice with the New York City Ballet in 1989, and rose through the ranks to attain principal status since 2000. Of her early work, Dance Magazine has said, "Even while taking class, she has enough Hollywood glamour that she could be mistaken for a young Elizabeth Taylor." In 2011, Jennifer responded with astounding grace and humanity when a notable New York Times critic acidly attacked her body image in a now infamous review of The Nutcracker. The incident, as well as her response, sent a shockwave through the dance community and beyond, drawing the attention of many who are concerned with issues surrounding our culture's perception of body image, including Oprah Winfrey and The Today Show, and nearly every major online publication. Perhaps not coincidentally, the review and Jennifer's bravely articulated response were punctuated by the release of the film The Black Swan, released that same year. About her vision for the work of the dance and the dance making, Jennifer has been equally articulate. One magazine captured her lived theology of dance when she said, "This world bombards us with words and instructions and flashing media, and it is so wonderful to be able to experience profound emotions simply through music and movement. It is an honor," she says, "to be someone who interprets choreography with the hope that someone watching will feel blessed." She says, "I dance now because I am grateful." Here to interview Jennifer Ringer, Fayette is dance leader at the Redeemer Dance Vocational Group, Jen Jenkins. Please welcome them.
Hi. We were actually just talking. We were kind of coaching each other. We're like, we can't trip over the wires. We're like dancers. We're not supposed to do that. We're actually the people who would trip over them, I think. It's so interesting earlier when Kenyon was talking about just the sort of worldly perception of body image and what is perfection and what is beauty. And, and I think never... so much so does that come into play. I mean, I think the argument could definitely be made in the ballet world, which is a world that you've lived in, you know, practically your entire life, and of just where that desire and that need and that push and that drive to attain this sort of human idea of bodily perfection is so prevalent, really, in day-to-day life. But that's not how people usually begin to dance. You know, if you can think back to when you're a child and when you started dancing, it's usually, you know, for me, I just wanted to twirl. I just wanted to twirl. That's all I wanted to do, so my mom put me in a class. And I was wondering if you could talk about when, on your journey as a dancer, when you first became aware of sort of an outside perception of your body image, where your journey in dance, you, whether it was positive or negative, when you first became aware of just people perceiving you and your body image, and how that affected your own personal view of yourself.
Well, I was very similar to you. I mean, when I was a child, I just loved to dance, and for me, it was ABBA. I listened to the Dancing Queen in my room, and I had a Disco Lights record player, you know, that would flash lights, and so I just loved it, and it never occurred to me that there were anything not beautiful about dance. But I guess my awareness of body image and myself as a, you know, myself as a visual, more of a visual thing, really kind of coincided with becoming a teenager. You know, it was that 12 to 14 time, which is, you know, normal for all of us, really, but it just gets heightened in the dance world. And I had had an injury, and I had put on some weight, and I remember, you know, it wasn't even that much weight. I was a teenager. But I remember my mom very, you know, with no ulterior agenda, saying to me, you know, one day your metabolism might change and you might have to watch what you eat a little bit more because your body's changing. And, you know, and she really meant it to be helpful. but I remember it was like I was taken by surprise by that. And because I just thought that everyone was beautiful and I was beautiful and our bodies were beautiful. And, you know, I was very, you know, uncritical by nature myself. But that kind of gave me an awareness that there was a possibility that things could be wrong with me. And also just the ballet world in general. I don't know if it's the same for every form of dance, but with ballet, you know, the mirror becomes the enemy in a way. I mean, we're taught from childhood to look at ourselves in the mirror and find what's wrong. We do not look in the mirror to see what's nice about ourselves. We look in order to correct our position or to find things that are wrong that we need to correct or we need to fix. And so that, you know, training had been ingrained in me since the time I started. And so I started looking in the mirror when I was a teenager, and I would immediately just be looking at the parts of me that I didn't like, the parts of me that were changing, and the things that were wrong. You know, I stopped being able to appreciate, you know, just the gift of the body that God has given us.
Exactly. You had mentioned, I think when we were talking earlier, about it was actually someone giving you a compliment once about your body, saying something like, oh, you look really great. You know, and you have this thought of, oh, did I look bad before? Like I'm, you know, and it almost came out of a compliment, actually, that someone gave you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think when I started having eating disorders, I think I had originally lost a little bit of weight. Just due to the busy dance schedule. And that was what happened. Somebody said, you know, wow, you look fantastic. You know, you've lost weight. And meanwhile, my family and some of my close friends were worried about me. But this person from the dance world thought I looked fantastic. And that was kind of a thing where I said, oh my gosh, have I been looking bad this whole time up until now? It's true. It was just like a twisting of the way that I should have been feeling about myself.
You have been so courageous and so honest in, you know, being completely upfront and really talking about your battle with anorexia and bulimia and body image. And it is, you know, it's so inspirational just for dancers. You know, I'm a dancer in the musical theater realm, which is, you know, it's like their idea of what the perfect body is different than the ballet world's idea of a perfect body. But it's always there. It's so prevalent. And so even when people aren't talking about it, everyone's aware of it. You know, it's everyone's aware of what you look like in your costume or what you look like when you walk into the class. If you could just talk a little bit about your journey back from that, sort of being in that place where, you know, your body image was, you know, really so distorted, you know, and how you began that journey back to really seeing yourself, you know, the way that God sees you and really seeing yourself as being beautiful and perfect the way that you were made.
Well, when I first I became a professional dancer actually at the age of 16, and I the schedule was incredibly busy and stressful and very difficult to handle actually. And I really during that time I kind of put God on a shelf, and I started kind of going through that cycle where I was just trying to do everything by myself. I was not relying on God's strength, or I wasn't in a Christian community, because a lot of times we performed on Sundays, and you know I had one day off a week, which was Mondays, and I put God on the shelf. That's the best way I can say it. I knew He was there, but He wasn't really a part of my life, and I was just doing it by myself. When I started going through having the eating disorders and really just going into a really dark place, I finally got to the point where I realized, I had a moment where I realized that God was missing from my life and that I needed Him. I needed Him back in my life, and that was the only way I was going to be able to get out of the hole that I was in. So I I got myself back into a Christian community. At the time, I was going to All Angels Church, and I started slowly getting back in there. But I found that the two, you know, the two hardest things for me was finding an identity, not as a dancer, finding an identity as a child of God, and that being my identity, my starting point, my foundation. I was so used to saying that I was a dancer, and I ended up getting fired from the New York City Ballet and was not a dancer, and went through a whole year where I had to, people would say, you know, normally when you meet people, they say, what do you do for a living? And I would always say, I'm a dancer. But I found different answers coming out of my mouth every time. When they said, what do you do for a living? I would say, I'm a student, which I was at the time. And then I would say, I'm an aerobics instructor, which I was also doing at the time. And, you know, I had these just different answers. And sometimes I would just say, I don't know. I'm Jenny. But it was so instructive for me to realize that I had no identity except for as a dancer. And I needed a lot of work and a lot of healing until I could really feel like I could be identified as a child of God. Because also, from dealing with all the eating disorders, there was just a great deal of shame attached to it and a sense of failure that I was, you know, doing this repetitive behavior that I knew wasn't healthy. And I felt unforgivable, and I felt like no one would be able to understand that if I told somebody, because I didn't tell anybody that I was going through this. You know, I was very much presenting a perfect face to everybody and telling them that I was fine. I was worried that if I told somebody that I had this secret shame, that they wouldn't love me. And I remember the first time I had a fellowship group that I was going to, and they just knew me as Jenny. But they were becoming friends, and I was having these relationships with them, but it was still kind of superficial. But I remember in a prayer group finally getting the courage up to ask for healing for my eating disorders and admitting to people that, you know, that I overate all the time. Dramatically overate. It was a problem. And I told my prayer group, and they nodded. And then we went on to the next person for her to share her prayer request. And I couldn't believe it. I thought that they would, you know, kick me out of the group, or, you know, just that they would be shocked and kind of that there would be a dead silence. But it was just one among many other prayer requests that were on people's hearts. And that was such a moment where those people just showed me the love of God and the acceptance of God and the forgiveness, that we are all broken and that we all have things. There's millions of reasons why we need God, and His healing can come in and heal us. He can heal anything. And it was such a revelation to me that they were able to accept me. So it was really, that was kind of the starting point for me in learning how God can forgive and how God can heal and how, you know, through his people and his community, he can love. And it came to a point where, you know, I hated my body. I absolutely hated it and felt disgusted by it. But I remember a ballet teacher invited me to come back and take her class. And I had quit, in my head, I had quit dancing, and I was on to trying to decide what to do with my life. She said, you know what, just come take my class. I think it'll be nice for you to move to the music. You can come for free. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how you dance. Just come. And so I did. I had to work up my courage, and I did. And I remember, and at this point for a dancer, I was probably 30 pounds overweight, which doesn't sound like a lot maybe in the real world, but in the dancing world, it's a lot. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror, and I just had this moment, and every time I say it, it sounds a little corny to me, but I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you know what? You're fine just like this. If you never change, you know, this is beautiful. You're a precious child of God, and God loves you. He made this body, and it's beautiful just the way it is right now, and it's okay. And that was a huge moment for me, and it was almost kind of the turning point where I was able to accept God's love and forgiveness, and also forgive myself.
Yeah, I actually, I had a friend once say to me, you know, Jenny,
people call me Jenny too. She's like, you know, Jenny, when God looks at you, he sees more than just a dancer. And that was such a revelation for me. And it began an equally, you know, just important process of seeing yourself as more than just a dancer. I think as artists, it's so easy to identify ourselves with our art and almost as our art. And it's just amazing when you begin to open up your eyes and yourself and your heart and your mind to seeing yourself as all of the things that God sees you. You know, this is a gift that he's given you and a talent that he's given you, but he sees you as so many more things. And what I love, I mean, obviously, we all know about the New York Times review. Wah, wah. What was said in the review. It's such an amazing story, your journey back to dance. Because you journeyed back to dance, you got back into class, you got back into the company, and then you're playing this role, I mean, the Sugar Plum Fairy, like, who doesn't, I don't know, I mean, maybe not all of us in here, but who doesn't, who hasn't been the Sugar Plum Fairy in their bedroom before? Anybody? Maybe just me. Okay, fine. That's fine. But, you know, it's like that role that you always think of, you know, as a dancer, like the Sugar Plum Fairy and the Nutcracker, and here you are playing this amazing role, and God has brought you on this journey of just redemption and seeing yourself as he sees you, and then boom, like bomb dropped, like an absolute collision with the real world idea, like the human idea of what beauty is in a paper printed. I mean, what was that like for you, and how did the entire journey that God had took you on up until that point, like how did that equip you to deal with that with such grace and dignity in front of really the popular world, not just the dance world, you know, Oprah today, like, you know, everyone was looking at you. How did that equip you for that moment?
What was funny is in my 10 years of being a, after I, by a miracle of God, got back into the company, they accepted me back in and then was later promoted. After being promoted in my 10 or 11 years of being a principal dancer, I had never done opening night Sugar Plum Fairy. And that's kind of the one that the critics come to. And I'd never done it. And I had never expected to do it. And so when I was cast for it, I remember wondering why God had, you know, why was I cast for opening? I mean, I actually remember thinking, that's so odd. You know, I just wasn't expecting that. But I thought, okay, you know, we'll do it and we'll do our best. But, and I was waiting for the review to come out just because I knew it would be reviewed. And the man that does the reviews, he's, you know, notoriously difficult. So I was kind of like, you know, I was girding my loins for it. But when he referred to my weight, I remember reading it, and my first thought was, it's happened. I said, you know, it's happened. Somebody has called me heavy in public for everybody to read. And, you know, because it really was, it had been my worst fear, really, for somebody to say that about me. It had been my worst fear. But the next thought, so after I thought, it's happened, the very next thought was, and I'm okay. You know, it was one of those things, it was that quick. And, you know, it didn't feel good. I mean, I wasn't happy about it. But I realized, you know, I was okay. And I mean, it's such a testament to God's healing. Really, his healing of, you know, not only of the eating disorders, but just of my way of thinking. I mean, he really did heal my thought processes. Because, you know, I still can think the unhealthy thoughts that I used to think, but God has really just kind of layered over them his healing and his word and his way of having a healthy love for this amazing body that he's created, for all of our amazing bodies that he's created. So I figured that, and I was a little bit selfish in that moment because it was kind of a selfish triumph, I have to say, because I thought, you know, it was kind of one of those things, it happened, I'm okay, I'm healed, it's about me. And, you know, but then when it caught the attention of the internet and it kind of blew up into this thing, I realized what I probably should have realized before was that it was, you know, God was at work and he had a larger purpose. It wasn't just about me. I really feel like that, you know, it's my opinion that he had me do that opening night so that I could get the bad review and so that he could be glorified through so many people speaking up about body image and needing to have a healthy body image and just the discussion that followed. And also just, I got a lot of messages from strangers, particularly teenage girls or young women that, you know, really identified with me and found healing through the whole episode as well. And I felt grateful to have been able to be a part of that because I do think it was a healthy thing for people to talk about. And I think that it might maybe brought healing to some people. So again, I feel like, you know, it was really just kind of God at work, and I was kind of grateful to be a part of it. And it's funny because some people in the dance world have said to me, oh, it was just such a horrible thing, and I mean, it's the worst nightmare, and so sorry that happened. And I never know how to respond because I actually feel like it was a blessing. I feel like it was a blessing. And so I feel kind of grateful to have been able to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's such an amazing take on it. So beautiful and wonderful, and such a story, just such a redemption story of just God redeeming you through your body and your image of your body and of your physical self. And you're still at work, right? You're still working in the company. I think you had mentioned seeing all of these young dancers coming into the company, you know, like you did, and being able to see kind of the warning signs. I think you were speaking about just being able to see sort of the warning signs of a young dancer who's starting to feel the same pressure as you were and starting to maybe contemplate walking down that path. If you could speak to that just a little bit, of just being able now, you know, God used you on this amazing, you know, huge sort of kind of level to be up there and speaking to that. But now it's, he's got you, you know, kind of in the trenches in the ballet company again, you know, sort of still doing his work and still, you know, shining his light in that place, in that specific place that he's prepared you for. If you could.
Yes. I do see it. You know, these, the young, particularly the young girls coming up, it's the ballet world is just so focused on a particular look. And like Kenyon was saying before, I mean, it's also, I mean, it is our culture as well. I pray for really teenage girls in general, and I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I worry about her growing up in this culture where there, you know, the magazine ads and the stuff that even if I'm pushing the stroller and, you know, what's up there on the phone booth, you know, I don't want her to have that as what has, you know, what is the image of beauty. I want her to have a sense of inner beauty based on, you know, having Jesus in her heart. And but yes, I look at the young girls in the company, and I try to just walk alongside them. And a lot of times it's ironic because I spent so many years being silent myself about my problems, and now I just talk about them. And I go up to some of these young girls, and I'm just like, la 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 la, you know, I'll start. Because that really is sometimes, that's actually what drew me out of my shell, was having other people share their struggles and be honest about what they went through. It gave me the courage to think that I wasn't strange, I wasn't bad, you know, it wasn't this horrible thing that I was doing. So sometimes these poor girls, I just go up to them and I start talking to them, which they, who knows. But but I feel called to try to walk alongside them and try to help them to, you know, negotiate that world that can be so tricky for young women.
So amazing. I just want to say thank you so much for coming and being just brave and courageous and sharing and being so transparent for us today about your journey and just where God's brought you and what he's doing with you now. Thank you so much.
Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you. That was great.
That's the wire.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, my idea of courage has certainly changed watching her this year. I truly applaud Jennifer Ringer, and it's wonderful that she's part of our church community. It's rare in New York City to see that kind of witness to what God can do in your heart. Thank you for your consistent bravery.